Hello and shalom. Welcome to this episode of Image Bearers Radio. I'm your host, Joe Amon. We got a great show ahead, so buckle up and hang on. Here we go. Well, hey, shalom, shalom, everybody. Welcome to episode 173 of Image Bearers Radio. I am your host, Joe Amaw, coming to you all the way from Out of Ashes Ministries in Southwest Louisiana. And I hope you guys are doing fantastically well this week. This is, as I said, episode 172. I'm so glad that you guys are here. If it's your first time checking out the podcast, then welcome to Image Bearers Radio and welcome to Out of Ashes Ministries. We are so incredibly blessed to have a wonderful fellowship here in Southwest Louisiana of Yeshua-centered, Torah-focused, like-minded community members that gather every Shabbat and just do life together, really. And so if you're out there and you've never heard of Out of Ashes and you're local to this area maybe somehow, we invite you to come join us, hang out. We have services every Shabbat at 10 a.m. Central. Where we do worship, we bless our children, we have the Parsha that is read, different people come up and read, and it's really cool, it's a blessing, and then we usually have a teaching towards the end of the service, and then we eat together at Oneg. So if you're around or you're local, you know, within driving distance, please come by, hang out. We would love to share Shabbat with you in person. If you are just online and you're looking for fellowship, looking for a group to hang out with on Shabbat, then I would invite you to join us online where we live stream our services every Shabbat at our website, outofashesministries.org/live. Or you can also join us on Facebook and YouTube. We multi-stream to both of those platforms. And so we'd love to have you guys hang out with us for Shabbat. If you're online, pop in the chat, tell us where you're watching from, say Shabbat Shalom, and would be awesome. For all of you guys that are longtime Image Bearers Radio listeners and Out of Ashes Ministries online community, thank you guys for being the incredible community that you are. Thank you so much for staying committed and for just being a great part of what Hashem is doing through us, through this ministry, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you for your support. And if you would like to support OAM by financially, by giving, you certainly can. I don't want to call anybody out or embarrass anybody, but I do want to say a very special thank you, Baruch Hashem, and Hashem's blessings to Miss Elaine Dennis, who sends in an offering very faithfully. She's out in Arizona, and Miss Elaine, I just want to say thank you. I don't want to embarrass you, and I don't want to call you out or anything, but I just want to say thank you so much. You know, we try not to talk about money much. It's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. You know, ministries and things like this don't run on good intentions. And I know that, you know, everybody goes, oh, I wish I could, you know, I wish I could support more or whatever. And I'm just so thankful for people like Miss Elaine that that send in, you know, gifts so faithfully. Thank you guys, all of you who support OAM and Image Bearers Radio. And if you would like to give in an offering, you can certainly do that again at our website, outofashesministries.org/give. And you can set up a one-time gift or a reoccurring gift, or you can send in a check or do however you'd like. But however you would choose to give, I know that Hashem will bless your heart. So today we are continuing to talk about Shabbat Melacha and what it means to work on Shabbat. Before we do that, let's go to the Father in prayer. Avinu Malkinu, our Father and King, King of the universe and King of our hearts and lives. We bless you for this opportunity to be together, and we thank you, Father. Teach us about Shabbat. Teach us what it means to protect and guard your holy day so that we may learn what it means to show you to the world in a more clear way. Through Yeshua our Messiah, amen and amen. All right, everybody. So episode 172. Today we are continuing our talk about Shabbat Melacha. As kind of an intro to that, I want to just kind of revisit why we are spending so much time and why we're kind of really going in the weeds about these Shabbat commandments and about looking at and thinking about and understanding ways to keep Shabbat better, to what I call increase our observance of the special day of Shabbat. And we spent some time in some previous episodes looking at how Shabbat is interconnected with other major themes of Scripture. So one of those themes topics in Scripture, Shabbat is incredibly interconnected with creation, right? And we spent a whole episode talking about Genesis 1 and Shabbat, the commandment for Shabbat. And so Shabbat is the finishing or the resting from creation or from creating. And the important thing to remember there is that God is not the only one that creates. We expect Him to be the one that creates in our lives. Or creates, you know, new things and new seasons in the community or the world around us. And yet, as God's representatives and as His children and as His partners, I fully believe that God is expecting us to be partners in that creation. He expects us to be co-creators along with Him. And so it should encourage us, it should challenge us really to move, to act in faithfulness to Hashem. It should cause us to be more busy, not for busyness' sake, but instead of laying back kind of on our spiritual laurels and just going, well, God make a way where there seems to be no way. I think many times God is going like, no, you figure it out. I gave you wisdom. I gave you knowledge. I gave you a spirit of courage and bravery. You go figure it out and make a way. Invent something. Create something. Be curious. Be explosive. Be dynamic in your actions so that you can create a ripple in the world around you. Make a change in the world around you that only maybe you can make, which is why you are here for this reason and this purpose. So we saw how Shabbat is linked to creation. If we are doing that partnering, creating, co-creating job with Hashem, and you go, well, what are we creating? Well, we're going to talk about that in today's episode. It's kind of what today's episode is about. But in that creating that we do for 6 days, that can include your career, that can include ministry, that can just include, mitzvot that you do, good works that you do. It can include all kinds of different things, and we'll talk about some of those at the end of this episode. But in that creating, if we're really putting 1,000% into that creating for 6 days, Shabbat then is a day for us to just go, you know what, I have created, I've made an impact this week. Shabbat is time for me to cease, to stop creating, to rest, to let whatever I've built be built, to rest from the work that I have done, the creative kingdom building work that I've done. But it's also a chance for us to rest for the work that's left to come. Because no matter how hard we worked and co-created with Hashem this week, there's still so much need out there, right? Because some of the stuff that we created and that we helped to fix, that we helped to bring tikkun and restoration to last week, next week when we turn around, it's going to be broken again, right? Because some people just need more reaffirming and more help than others, more consistent help. Some things you fixed in your own life last week are going to be broken again this week, because that's just how life goes. And so we don't rest only from the work, but we rest for the work. And that's a creative links that Shabbat is all about. When God was creating, He was making a place suitable for Him to dwell with His creation. And that's what our job is to do every 6 days. And so we saw this tie with creation. But there's also another huge, huge link. Shabbat is linked to the tabernacle or the temples, right? The physical terrestrial dwelling place of God's presence, the Shekinah, here on the terra firma, here on earth. And we looked at how that is, Shabbat is intricately linked with the tabernacle and the temples. And then, so you have Shabbat linked to creation and you have Shabbat linked to the temple. And then we looked at how the temple and creation are linked together. And so you have this beautiful interconnectedness. How many other times could I use that word? But you have this beautiful, you know, interconnectedness between Shabbat, creation, and the tabernacle and the temple. And the tabernacle and temples, what they signify for us is God's presence here dwelling on the earth. They are they are returned to the garden where God walked and dwelt with his people, right? Which is, for those of us who are believers in Yeshua, and we have the vision of Revelation, the apocalypse of John, Revelation, where he sees this very thing at the end of days, right? This recreation of the garden where Jerusalem comes down from heaven and the earth is renewed. We don't go up to heaven. Heaven comes down to earth and the earth is renewed. It's a new garden. We, at the end of Revelation chapter 21, we end up back in Genesis 1 and 2. And so that's the complete geula or redemption, restoration that God is wanting and is working with us towards. And so as we talk about the temples and tabernacles, you know, this is such a profound thing for me. And I talk about the temple. I'm a temple guy. I love talking about the temple and about the tabernacle and sacred space. Because it embodies the ideas of what do we do? We say we want God among us. We want God in our midst, but God is holy. So how do we, as unholy or you know, tamei, unclean, people that have the ability to be holy, but also the ability to be unholy, people that have the ability to be clean and right before God, but also that have the ability to not be clean and right before God. How do we host the divine, perfect presence of Hashem? And that's where the garden was supposed to be, but we broke that trust. And so then Hashem gives us the tabernacle, the Mishkan in the wilderness, because he says, build me a tabernacle that I may dwell within you, betocham, within you. And so the tabernacle and the temples are this institution of protecting God's holiness from us and protecting us from God's holiness, but also transferring God's holiness to us as we learn how to interact and deal with and host the divine presence of the Almighty, Holy Creator of the heavens and the earth in our midst. And so the temple, as much as I love it, and as much as I think everyone should study it, Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, it says, I think in Ezekiel 37, that Hashem gives a command to study the house of God, and to know its entrances and its exits and its ordinances and its services. That's a command for every single believer to study Beit HaMikdash, the house of Kedusha, the holy temple, because in the New Testament, or the New Apostolic Scriptures, the New Testament, it is all centered around the idea that we now host God's presence, not only internally when we become, you know, his children, we are filled with his spirit, but also that corporately as the body of Messiah, that we corporately are a temple, that we corporately are the host of God's presence here on the earth. And so how much more important is it for us that we study the temple and its entrances, exits, and its services and its ordinances? How much more important is it that we know how to host the presence of the living God in our midst? And I think one of the biggest areas that we all could improve on, you know, Baptist, Catholic, Pentecostal, Hebrew roots, Messianic, whatever, as believers and followers of Yeshua as Messiah, what we should be working on is how to become a better resting place for God's presence. Now, we have been caught up in reaching out and evangelism and all that, and all those things are wonderful and they're necessary. I've told you before, and you guys that have followed for a long time, that's not my strength. Evangelism is not my strength. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I'm not good at it. I never have been. And it's just, I'm a teacher and a discipler. So somebody else is responsible to go out and get people and then bring them to people like us. And then we will help teach while you go out and get more people. It's the body working together, right? We don't have to be great at all the same things. And so this, what we have done is we've been so outward focused in some ways that we have neglected our own sanctity, the sanctity of the body, the sanctity of the congregation, the sanctity of the church. And I don't mean that in a, you know, the negative, you know, like I don't mean church in a bad way. I mean the body of Messiah. We've neglected our own sanctity and we've forgotten that our first and foremost priority is not to go make other disciples, is not to go get people saved. Our first and foremost priority is to host the presence of the Holy One of Israel, Baruch Hu. Blessed is He. That's our only and first priority. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, right? V'ahavta et Adonai. And so b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha. With all your heart, your mind, your strength, with all your everything, right? That's the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. But we may need to make sure that we don't get those twisted up. And I think that in many instances, we've gotten those upside down. There is a priority. They are side by side in some ways, but the first is to love Hashem. Because if we don't have Hashem, we don't have Shema Israel, Na Eloheinu Adonai Echad, right? Then we're just philanthropists. Then we're just people that do good stuff, with forgetting that we are responsible for hosting the divine presence in our lives, and we are also accountable to each other in how we each play a part in being that institution, that temple institution that hosts His presence. God, what an incredible, what an incredibly weighty calling. It's a weighty calling to be a light to the nations. It's a weighty calling to be the salt of the earth. It's a much weightier calling to host the divine Shekinah, the divine presence of God every day, every night, no matter what company we're in, no matter where we work, no matter what our homes are like, no matter what shape our vehicles are in, no matter what shape our physical bodies are in, we are responsible for hosting the divine presence of God. And we forget what a weighty, weighty thing that is. And I think we forget because many times we just think, oh, well, yeah, but Jesus makes me worthy to host the divine presence. And while that's true, there is a maintenance that has to happen. See, if you haven't studied the temple, the tabernacle, then you don't know about things like the daily offerings, the tamid offerings, the daily purification offerings, about Yom HaKippurim. And what is Yom HaKippurim even about? Many aspects of the temple operation and the priesthood is not about at all enjoying God's presence. It's about the maintenance of the place where God dwells. Because of His holiness, because of the vastness of who He is and the depth of who He is and the uniqueness of who He is, it takes a very special place for Him to live. And when Jesus saved us, when Yeshua saved us and brought us in, God didn't lower the standard for the place that He dwells. He elevated us. And then the goal is for us to learn to be good custodians, good stewards of Hashem's presence, of God's presence. And so as we see this thing go like, wait, you're way off of Shabbat. No. Shabbat is inextricably linked with creation and the temple. And so on this time of Shabbat, it relates to the building of the temple because we've done our best to build all week. And again, this is our time to cease, but also on Shabbat in the temple, there are extra offerings. There's extra things. And what does that mean? Well, the word for an offering in Hebrew is karban, K-O-R-B-A-N, a karban. And karban means to draw near. It doesn't mean sacrifice, even though that's the way it's usually translated, even in Jewish literature, but it means to draw near. And so on Shabbat, you have the morning and evening offerings where you draw near to Hashem, but you also have one in the middle of the day where you draw. There's this idea on Shabbat is really about drawing near to Hashem. And the work that you've done, you leave behind and you occupy yourself with drawing near to Hashem. So that is the reason why. That was the intro to this. This whole first segment is going to be the intro. But that's the intro as to why we are trying to spend so much time and try to really get to the heart of Shabbat. And we're trying to get to the heart of Shabbat in a mechanical sense. And say, well, those two things don't go together. Because mechanics is not heart. But they are. See, that's another, sometimes, you know, depending on what church or denomination, whatever you grew up in, that can be a real fallacy and a real false dichotomy that action and heart, you know, are divorced from one another, or that you have to have heart to do the action, or if your heart's not in it, then you shouldn't do it, or what, you know, whatever those things. An action without heart is no good, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a false thing. Faith without works, you know, you can't do. That's a false dichotomy. It's a false argument. And it's created a lot of damage. And it's created people that just kind of have the expectation of sitting back on our haunches and not doing anything if we don't feel it's right. Or if we have to mind over matter something and just push through and do good without any real heart behind it, then we don't think we're doing the right thing. And the truth of the matter is that it takes intentionality, but intentionality doesn't mean you feel something. It means that you intention in your mind that I am going to do this. It's an act of will. And that will is the fact that you're going to pray, the fact that you are intending to do good works, that you are intending to serve people, that you are intending to worship and intending to study the scriptures. Even if you don't feel anything about it, you're not excited about it, and there's no woo, bang, pow, you know, there's no fireworks, that is a holy intent. And so this thing about, you know, about resting is that I have intended to create and to build all, but on Shabbat, I'm intending to be with my Creator. I'm intending to draw near to Him, and I'm intending to be in this place where I've ceased from all the other stuff. It will be there tomorrow. Today is a day that I am with Hashem. And so our last episode, we didn't have an episode last week because we had a snowpocalypse here in the South. We had Snowmageddon with a whole like 6 inches of snow, and some places got up to like 10, 12 inches of snow. And I heard from all our northern friends, hey guys, I heard like, oh, I can't believe you guys are so excited, getting so bent out of shape, you know, and blah, 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 over 2 or 3 inches of snow. And it's like, yeah, well, we are. So leave us alone and let us enjoy our snow. So as we have gone through the mitzvot, the commandments for Shabbat, we've talked about sanctifying the Shabbat, right? How we start and end Shabbat and bracket it with these holy rituals. And then we talked about resting on Shabbat, and we said, well, we can't really talk about rest ceasing until we know what we're ceasing from. And so last week we started talking about, or a couple of weeks ago, we started talking about the melacha, the work, the labor of Shabbat, and we talked about the 39 categories of melacha. those having to do with creating the temple and the tabernacle. So when we come back from the break, we're going to go through these 39 melachot again. I'm just going to read them off to you, and we'll kind of categorize them for you to, as a reminder. And we're going to talk about each one a little bit. And then we're going to end up the episode with talking about kind of how this stuff relates to us, real world and real life. So don't go away. We'll be right back right after the break. All right, everybody, welcome back to the second segment in episode 172 of Image Bearers Radio. And we're going to talk about the melachot, plural for melacha. So just a quick reminder that whenever in your Bible you see the commandment of Shabbat and you see the word labor, it is my, you know, holy day, it is my day, do not do any labor on this day, etc. When you see that word labor, it is going to be the word melacha. And we've spent, time ad nauseum talking about, well, how do we know what that labor is? And we talked about why the Jewish people and the sages of Israel connect labor, whatever labor is on Shabbat that we are not to do, we are prohibited from doing, that is connecting to the building of the Mishkan. Again, this interconnectedness of the Sabbath, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, all of these things working together to create a picture. And I was going to say last episode, and I got carried away, the temple is not the be-all, end-all. Although I love the temple, and again, like I said, I think everybody should study the temple. Every child of God, should be a student of the temple. But the temple is a tool that we were given by Hashem to teach us how to host the presence of God. In the same way, Shabbat, as holy as Shabbat is, the festivals, as holy as the festivals are, the Torah as a whole, as holy as the Torah is, the Word of God is, these things are tools. They are vehicles that Hashem uses if we will invest in them. These are vehicles that Hashem uses in order to mold us and shape us and teach us how to be His people and how to host His presence and how to affect the restoration of the world, Tikkun Olam. And so we have to do the things, the mechanics, but we also have to remember that it's not for the mechanics' sake that we are doing them. We have the intent to do them, the heart to do them, and we do them understanding that we are learning in the process. Like I say all the time, just like your kids don't understand why they have to keep their rooms clean. They don't understand why they have to keep their vehicles clean. They don't understand why they have to help wash dishes and keep the house clean and all that kind of stuff. They don't understand why order in their rooms is so important. But I've seen it in my kids as they've grown up, and I recognize it in myself. When stuff gets, I'm not the cleanest. I'm not like OCD clean. When stuff starts to pile up and get really disheveled and out of order, I feel that. And my kids, as they get older, they're starting to notice, like, I haven't felt good lately. Like, well, you've been locked in your bedroom and there's clothes everywhere and there's old dishes everywhere and there's fast food bags and stuff, and it's time to, and they go like, okay, well, we clean our room in preparation for Shabbat. It's like, oh, it's peaceful, right? Because what that is, what that lack of organization is chaos. And so even in cleaning our bedrooms, cleaning our vehicles, we are acting like God did in creation. We're taking chaos, dysfunction, and again, it's not a negative thing necessarily. It's not inherently, chaos and dysfunction is not inherently negative. It's just not ordered for a purpose, for a function befitting Hashem. And so when we clean our physical areas up, it just feels good because we've managed to bring function and order to our space, right? And so this is part of, again, what Shabbat is all about. It's that one day where we bring order and function. Because, you know, in the working of the week, in the creating of the week, in the doing the melacha of the week, it can get messy. You know, I don't know if you've ever built anything or you're a crafter maybe, or, you know, you work with your hands, you've done projects and stuff, but you can get really involved in a project and you just get so laser focused on creating and being in the flow of what you're doing. Or if you're fixing something around the house, you get so focused on like, I need to get it done, right? I want to get it finished, that you can have tools strewn from here to there, right? You can have stuff all over the place. Especially if you're a little bit ADD like I am, you lose stuff the minute you set it down and you got to go get something else and you come back and now you got two of them. Cause you know, it just is it's a mess. But you can have, you know, stuff everywhere. The creating, the repairing of the world is messy. And so we need one day where we just we cease from resting. So these melachot, these labors that are forbidden, these 39, have to do with what it took to build the tabernacle, as we said a couple weeks ago. And I'm just going to list off these 39. They are sowing, plowing, reaping, sheaving or gathering, bundling up, threshing, winnowing, selecting and sorting, grinding, sifting, kneading, and baking. So those 11 have to do with what it takes to produce bread, and bread is an integral part of the temple. Now, I already want you to go ahead and start thinking about bread throughout the scripture. Think about bread throughout the scripture and all of the connections and all of the things that you can think about, New Testament, apostolic writings, Tanakh, Psalms. Think about all the bread stuff that you can possibly conjure up. And if you're in a place where you're sitting down and you're still whatever, maybe write some notes. Like, okay, this is something I need to look at. I need to do a bread study in the scriptures, right? And pull out your Strong's Concordance and look at all the places where bread is mentioned, and or flour or whatever, and just, you know, do some word study. So those are having to do with bread, because bread is one of those things that has a physical importance, but it is used in scripture over and over and over. It's used with a spiritual depth, right? There's a spiritual depth aspect to bread that is drawn out over time. So those are the first 11 melachot. Then we have number 12 on shearing, bleaching, combing, dyeing, spinning, mounting the warp, which is like the first stage of weaving. Setting two heddles, again, which is like on a weaving machine, is part of that process. Number 19, weaving. Number 20, removing excess threads or picking threads. 21, tying a knot. 22, untying a knot. 23, sewing. 24, tearing. So that 12 through 24, those next 12 melachot have to do with what it takes to produce fabric or material. And we know that there is a ton of material in the tabernacle, right? Because the whole outer curtains that form the actual like courtyard are all made out of curtains, right? And they're dyed in three colors. That is techelet, which is the blue. That is argamon, which is the purple or the violet, and it is a crimson or a red, which is sheni tolat or tolat sheni, which is a crimson red. And so these curtains have a real significance. So again, go through your Strong's and look up curtains and see there's places that the scriptures talk about the curtains of the tabernacle that you or the temple that you've never even read. And just the beauty of what this is about. And then what I would encourage you to do is if you have any Jewish sources like a Chumash or something like that, or go on Chabad, or just do a word study, like a Google search, do like temple curtains Jewish or something like that, and you'll get all this beautiful commentary on like what the curtains were like and what they look like and how they were made and etc., what they represent. Oh, it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. Curtains as a covering, okay? So we go on, and we start at number 25 in this particular list. And again, I'm reading from the Sefer HaChinuch, if I can get it right, the Book of Mitzvot, where these are listed, but you can find these online everywhere. They may be ordered a little bit differently, but they're all the same. So we have 26 on. It says slaughtering is a forbidden melachot, skinning, tanning, smoothing, tracing lines, cutting, that goes into the next section, I'm sorry. So trapping, slaughtering, skinning, tanning, smoothing, and tracing lines. So those are writing, would be another way to say it, tracing lines. Those have to do with the slaughter of an animal for its hide, or processing the hides in order to make the leather curtains that are in the tabernacle, right? And then next, we have cutting, writing, erasing, building, demolishing, extinguishing a fire, or kindling a fire. And that has to deal with making the beams, the wooden beams and those kinds of things, and the metal work and all of the, like the manual stuff that had to go into constructing all the furniture and the beams for the curtains and all these different things in the tabernacle. You know, you have things like writing. Well, because you have to mark lines and you have to, you know, you have to keep a record of where things are, and you have to keep a log, and you have to all this stuff, and an erasing, right? If you mess something up. And then the last two have to do with finishing the creation of the Mishkan, and they are 38 and 39. They are striking the final blow with a hammer, and that doesn't mean the final blow on like all the Mishkan. It means the final blow on, like, let's say you're a metallurgist and you're making a spoon or a shovel for the ashes of the altar or whatever. Striking the final blow on that is forbidden. And then lastly, taking out from one domain to another domain, transferring something from a private domain to a public domain, or vice versa, or transporting something more than 4 amot, which is a length of measure, in a public domain. And what does that have to do with? Well, that has to do with the commandment to no man should go out of his house on Shabbat. And so the house, a man's house, a person's house is considered their private domain. And so the sages wrestled with, well, what constitutes going out of your house? People go to the temple on Shabbat, so what if they have to travel to go to the temple or whatever? You know, and then they go to synagogue, and so is synagogue a public domain, but do we not get together on Shabbat? And even though the idea of Shabbat is that you have a holy gathering, right? So this is part of that deal, and also the idea of the sacred space being in and out. And so these are the 39 melachot, or 39 forbidden labors. Now, I want to turn these around a little bit and talk about them. They are given in a negative sense, a negative commandment, thou shalt not, right, do these labors on Shabbat. But also, when we read through the commandments for Shabbat, and you'll know this if you study Shabbat, obviously, there's two parts to this this commandment. The first part, or the second part that we're studying right now, says you shall do no labor, no regular labor on Shabbat, right? But the first part of the commandment is that 6 days you shall do all your work, all your labor, and the seventh day is a day of rest unto Adonai. You shall do no work therein. So let's talk about it in the positive. So in the positive, there are 39 labors that we are to be doing each and every week. there are 39 labors that constitute our work. Now, I'll say that we should be doing, not everybody was planting seeds, right, in Israel. Not everybody was hammering metal. Not everybody was shearing wool or, you know, or making tapestries or anything like, or, you know, things like that. Not everybody was doing those things, but everybody had a part to play in the building of the Mishkan. And so some of these things are things you may have this list and you may look at and go, okay, I'm not really sure that I'm maximizing my avodah, my service, my melacha, my work in the kingdom every week. So what kind of inspiration can I draw from these melachot that the Jewish people are forbidden to do on Shabbat? If they're forbidden to do these things on Shabbat, then this must be something that we must actively do during the week, right? So some super easy ones are sowing, right? Sowing. Now, you may not be planting crops for grain. You might not be planting wheat. If you are, great, because even though that may not seem, you're not growing wheat for the temple, as we did here for bread for the temple, you're growing something to feed people, your own family or other people, community to sell, whatever. That's a creation that is helping the world to be sustained. That's a melacha. That's a mitzvah, right? And so you should be doing that. But in a spiritual sense, what are you sowing? Every day you should be sowing something. And this is not something foreign to us. We get it, right? You are sowing seed. Everybody in any church in the last 100 years has heard a sermon about sowing seed. You should be sowing. You should be sowing positivity and hope and joy and righteousness and holiness into the world. So if you ever go like, well, I don't know what Hashem wants of me, sow something. Sow the character of God in your workplace, in your family, around your friends. Sow in your community. Sow the image of God and what that looks like. Some of you have the gift of plowing. you have the gift of plow, breaking hard dirt up. And you are unique in that if you use your gift to the best of its potential, then that plowing is not destructive, but it is a cultivating more than a destroying. And I have known and do to this day, I know people, and some of you guys may be listening, I'm not going to call any names, but I know people who see life a different way. They see things that other people don't see. They hear things that other people don't hear. And it can be so different and so alarming and so out there seemingly that it causes them to almost have to disconnect from the body at large because they don't want to scare people. They don't want to be other. You know, it's just a weird place to be. They don't want to disrupt people's walk and, you know, and stuff and bring, you know, fear and confusion and contention, but they're, and the way that God created them, their antennas are tuned to different things than most of us are. And if you're that person, one of your responsibilities, one of your melacha is to plow. The thing is, though, you have to be really careful about how are you plowing too deep and destructive where things can't be fixed, or are you cultivating where you're preparing the ground for someone to come and sow? Does that make sense? I hope that does, because that's a really beautiful picture, I think, of kind of a partnership that is necessary between the sowers and the cultivators, right? Reaping. This is an easy one. Reaping, right? Some people, you get, I guess I'm this way a little bit, but you kind of get to be the beneficiary of other people sowing and cultivating and plowing, you get to kind of be the beneficiary, right? Maybe witnessing to people and making disciples and sharing the gospel, maybe you're a person that, man, people just click with you, right? And it's easy for you to talk to people about spiritual things and stuff, and you get to reap that benefit about bringing souls into the kingdom, right? And that's a beautiful thing. But we need you. And you need to be out there with your ears tuned to people who are ready, who have been, their lives have been cultivated by someone else. The seed has been sown by someone else, and now they're just ready for somebody that can receive them, right? Cultivators might not know how to walk somebody into allegiance to God and develop that, but it's not for you to do that. Paul says, one sows, one waters, you know, God gets the harvest. And so we could go through kind of all of these, but I want you to work on some of this stuff, and try to pull some understanding and some spiritual implication as this is your assignment. This is your job description. And it doesn't mean you have to do all of these. God forbid you do all of them, because you're not gifted to do some of these. Neither am I. And so we have to know our role in the kingdom. There's a couple more that I wanted to really hit on, and I've gotten all excited now. Writing is one. Some of you guys are supposed to be writing, and I don't mean spiritually writing. I mean, you're supposed to be writing, blogging, writing books, writing lessons, writing Bible studies. You're supposed to be writing, because that's the gift. That's the vehicle that Hashem has given you in order to use your gifts and your insights and your sensitivities. And you're not writing enough. You're not writing enough. And you need to be writing more. And if you don't have an outlet, then start sending your stuff to us. And we have a blog on our website that really has, it's not used much, because I don't have time to write like I'd like to. So send your stuff to us. We'd love to, you know, look at it and post it if it's, you know, something that we can use, and give you an outlet. You need to be writing more. But the other side of writing, excuse me, is erasing. And one of the, you know, we talk about, sowing and plowing as an outward thing, but all of these things can be inward as well. Remember, we're not just working on growing sacred space. We're also working on becoming better at being sacred space. So there's a twofold thing in our weekly melacha, in our weekly work. There's a twofold mission: to become better sacred space, and then by becoming better sacred space, we expand sacred space by including more people in the kingdom and in allegiance to Hashem. So all of these things can account for you as well. But erasing is the converse of writing. And some of us need to get better at erasing things that we have written about ourselves or against ourselves, and we need to become better at erasing some of those things. We need to become better at recognizing a mistake and erasing it, and it's gone. Blow away the dust, and it's gone, and write something new. We need to become better at erasing not only the mistakes, but whenever we have completed a task, when we have reached a maturity, when we have come to the new level that we have been striving for, when we've learned the new thing, we need to get better at erasing the old stuff that got us there, because we're there. And it's time for us to start writing a new thing, a new level, going to a new place, not forgetting and leaving where we've just come from, but taking that with us as a part of us now. When you were in school, one of the things that you had to do was you had to write your addition facts, right? Your addition facts. 1 + 1 = 2 + 2 = 2 + 3, right? You had to write those down, and you had to write them and write them and write them and write them. Why? So you would memorize them, so they would become a part of your natural thought process. now it's a silly thing to go, well, like, it's easy as 1 + 1, right? It's easy as A, B, C. When you were a kid, you didn't know what A, B, and C was, but you wrote them and wrote them and wrote them until it became a part of who you were, until it was second nature. And as we come to new maturities in God, and as we come to new glories and new levels in God, the things that got us there, we don't forget when we erase them. We erase them to make room for new things, new notes, new things that we have to practice. But with the understanding that those things have become a part of who we are. They have become our nature now. This is my new character. This is part of me becoming new creation, right? And so it's not to leave things behind, it's to accumulate and to come. You know, funny story, again, y'all will be, laugh at us, but in this snow, we actually got to roll snowballs like happens on the cartoons, it rolls down the mountain, it gets bigger. And at 44 years old, I was like, I can't believe that really works that way. And it does. And it's accumulating maturity, which is what we're doing when we're growing in Hashem. This has been such a fun episode. I love you guys. Thank y'all for being here. Until next week, shalom, shalom.